Amen. Well, Heavenly Father, we thank you, Father, that your presence is here with us. We thank you. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty, there is freedom, there is the power of God, the presence of God, the precious glory of God. I honor you, Holy Spirit. I thank you. I thank you for this opportunity to be able to speak the word of God. And as I speak the word, I ask, Holy Spirit, that there will be a performance of your word. There's nothing like the word of God. There's nothing like it here on this earth. The book, the life. You can't separate Jesus from the word. So I thank you for this word today. And I thank you what you have placed in my heart. And I pray that I will deliver it to the best of my ability through the help of you, my helper, the comforter, the one called alongside to help me. So I honor you, precious Holy Spirit, teacher of this church and the teacher of the church. We pray and ask this all in Jesus' name. And everyone here says, amen, amen, amen. Well, I'm going to be speaking to you today about who has the last word. Who has the last word? Husbands and wives, I know that this is exclusive to you a lot. How many times have you gotten into a heated discussion or an argument, and no matter who it is, whether it's the husband or the wife, but you have to get in the last word, you know? And then the other one's still going. There's no opening. There's no edgeway for you to get in. And it seems like in the natural, the person who has the last word maybe wins the discussion or is right. Not necessarily so. And this can be not just between husbands and wives, but between anyone, an employer and an employee, between, you know, siblings, anyone, between two Christians, between someone, a believer and a non-believer. And you may say, I'll get the last word in. I'll get the last word. Which, does that mean that it's right? Does it mean that it's God's approval on top of that? Maybe not so. So we're going to address some of these things. Who has, after all, who has the last word? Yeah, amen. In Proverbs, in the New Living Translation, Proverbs 17, verses 27, 28 says, a truly wise person uses few words. A person with understanding is even-tempered. Even fools are thought to be wise when they keep silent. With their mouth shut, they seem intelligent. Wow. The Message says this in Proverbs 10:19-20. The more talk, the less truth. Isn't that something? Somebody goes rambling on. The more you talk, the less truth. The wise measure their words. The talk of a good person is rich fare for many, but chatterboxes die of an empty heart. Isn't that amazing? Do you know any chatterboxes? Don't raise your hand. You know, an eloquent term for a chatterbox would be loquacious. Loquaciousness just simply means a talkative person that just talks and talks and talks and talks, goes on and on and on. Yeah, but just because you're talkative and just because you feel like you have to get the last word in all the time doesn't mean you're in the right. But Psalm 119, and you can turn there, verse 89 says, forever, O Lord, your word is settled in heaven. Forever, O Lord, your word is settled in heaven. The word of God is our source of revelation. This word, this book right here. The term settled, you know, when somebody talks about settling something, settled, it means to be established, to be positioned, and it's of absolute stability. It also means, settle also means to fix, to take out of discomfort to a comfortable place. to move to a new dream place. That's what to settle means. Let me say that again. To move to a new dream place. To work out. To pay off. To compensate. To be paid what is owed and due. That's what to settle means. To terminate. And listen to this definition. And put an end to a rough season and suffering. How would you like to just settle and get out of that rough season? Bye-bye. You know, it's behind me. No, man, that was a rough season. That was rough. That was rocky. But we got through it. It settled. Settle means to get out of that rocky, those things that were coming against you, opposition. One thing after the next just seems like, you know, you just come through something else and you get slammed with another thing. Continual. Well, settle means just to settle down, get into a comfortable place, a dream place. That's what that means, to settle it. Do you ever settle a bill, settle an argument, settle that, settle this. Just to settle these things down. To settle. Numbers 23:19 says this: God is not a man that he should lie, neither the son of man that he should feel repentance. Has he said and shall he not do it? Or has he spoken and shall he not make it good? Yes, he will every time. Thank God he's not like us. He cannot lie. Cannot. That's not in his character, amongst other things, but God cannot lie. No, never. Jeremiah 1:12 says, "For I will hasten my word to perform it." He'll hasten it to perform it. Not only has he spoken the word, but he hastens it to perform it. He says, "So shall my word be, that when we speak it, when we proclaim his word, his words, put his words, take his words and put it in our mouths. He'll hasten to perform it." And he says that his word will not return unto us empty or void. It's not meaningless. It's not hollow. Did you ever get a can or something hollow and bang on it? And you know it's empty, hollow. There's nothing in it. Has no substance. That's not the word of God. The word of God is heavy, it's weighty, so is the anointing. But the word of God has substance, it's heavy, it's weighty. So when you speak it, when you put this word in your mouth, God hastens, quickens to perform it. After all, that's his word. Him and the word are one, they're one and the same. The less you speak of you, your words, put more of his words in you. Get more of him in you, these words. Less of you. This is a word to chatterboxes. Get more of the word of God in you. And then you can be a chatterbox all you want. Just proclaiming, declaring the word of God. I'm strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. The Lord is good and his mercies endure forever. And you go on and on and on. And he has healed me and he sent his word and healed me. And oh, just the word's so good. When you get that on the inside of you, you know, it just can't help. Let it come out. Rehearse it, mutter it, meditate it. Not all this silliness and foolishness that seems to spring out of us that we're just so well versed in and we think we're so cool. You want to be cool. You want to be powerful. Get the word of God on the inside of you. Get the word, because he has the last say. All the time, all the time. It's all the time. Proverbs 16:1 says, "We may make our plans, but God has the last word." Go ahead, make your plans. Go ahead. Man makes his plans and God laughs. Yeah. You make your plans. You scheme and we're going to do this. Doesn't seem like it's working out. It's happening. That's not panning out for me. I think we should plan to do this. And God just sits and laughs. You know, make your plans. Go ahead. But if it's not orchestrated by him, If it's not in the plan of God, it's going to, you know, it's going to fall. It won't succeed. It may take off ground in the beginning. It may. But yet, if God's not in it, if God hasn't orchestrated it, it's not going to take off and it's not going to succeed. It won't. It just simply won't, especially if you're a believer, especially if you're a child of God. Psalm 139:16 says, God wrote our autobiographies before we were even formed. Yeah. So have not our lives been written in his book even before you were formed? If he written your autobiography, he written, Berna, about you, written out your life, that you would be doing this, you'd be called to do that, and that just wrote it out plainly in his book. We need to find out what that plan is, what he written in the book. We need to ask him. We need to seek him and inquire what his word is. Not to be foolish and to make our plans, and then God's just saying, it's not in here. It's not in your autobiography. I didn't author that. I didn't give you my seal of approval to take that job. I didn't tell you to marry him. I didn't tell you to move there. Well, it seemed good. It just seemed, yeah, mentally in the mind, in the emotions, and in everything else, it may seem good. But still, God sits in heaven and he laughs because it is not written in your autobiography. Psalm 139 says, it's all mapped out, all written out. Yeah, to the letter, to the T. And it's for us to find out what is written in his book. Yeah. So how can a man say, it's my life, I'll do what I choose? We know we've heard that a lot from young people. It's my life. We've heard from women. It's my body. I'll do what I want with it. It's not. It's not your life, and it's not your body as well. Your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost. Go see how far you're going to get with that type of attitude. You'll end up in a ditch. You'll end up singing, you know, the blues. Your life will just spiral downhill. It may take time. It may take a while. But without the plan of God, without his word, without you seeking what he written about each and every one of you, just think about it. Every individual on the face of this earth, he's written a plan, an autobiography about you. It's in his book. And when we stand before him, he says he opens the books. I want to finish. I want to dot every I, cross every T. That, you know, I may have gotten a late start, but I finished my course. I've done everything that he called me to do, and I want to do it well. You know, sometimes I may trip over my feet a while, but that's okay. When you trip, you just pull yourself back up again. But always making sure that his plan is present in your lives. And then if it's not working out, seek him and ask him. Of course, he knows. He's the master builder, the master plan. He knows. He written this before you took your first breath in the world. He knows all of this. And he has the last say all the time, all the time. Yes. Even in death, God has the last say. Even in death, how final can you get when somebody dies in death? 1 Corinthians 15:55, and I spoke this at my mom's graduation. Oh, death, where is your sting? Oh, grave, where is thy victory? Oh, death, you can paraphrase and say, oh, death, who's afraid of you now? Yeah, death has been swallowed up by a triumphant victory. Oh, death, where's your sting? Yeah, where's the sting of it? You know, death, maybe for an unbeliever, for those people who think that, you know, when you maki, that's it, that's it, that's it, you know, whether life dealt you a good hand or a bad hand, but when you die, there's nothing after that. Oh, yeah, there is. Oh, yes, there is. But Jesus saw to it, took the sting out of death for us, triumphant over the grave. And so when a loved one, you know, sure we miss them, sure we shed some tears, but yet we know they're with my Lord. They're with the God of all creation. It couldn't get any better than that. And they're with him. Cry for yourself. Don't cry for me. All these people praying for my mom. I told them, why are you praying for my mom? Pray for me. Pray for the family. Pray for my brothers, you know, that don't know the Lord yet. Pray them into the kingdom. She don't need no prayers. She's up there dancing. She's probably baking some of her famous cakes for the Lord. And they're all sitting down. We'll probably have some of those cakes at the marriage supper of the Lamb. I guarantee it. If the Lord lets her. Yeah. We'll probably partake of some of them. And they're the best. I'll tell you, they're the best. But you know, but I told them, don't. Why are you praying for her? She's reached her destination. She's in glory. It's not like another step up or an upgrade, giving her from a deluxe to maybe super grand room or a mansion. She's reached the epitome of grandeur in eternity with the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, with all her loved ones, with my baby sister that died at childbirth. She got reunited with my baby sister, Teresa. And she got to see her. I thought, oh, glory. What a glorious time that would have been for her. Yeah. So she's got a lot to catch up with up there. Yeah. So don't pray. Don't pray. Save the masses. Don't light no more candles for her. She loved candles, you know, but pray for the ones that are here on the earth. Yeah. We're the ones. Yeah. They're the ones that are going to need the prayers. Yeah. But Don't cry for those that have gone on to be with the Lord, definitely. You know, when my brother called me to tell me about my mom's transition, her graduation into heaven, I had a choice to make at that very moment. I had a choice to make that I was either faced with grief and sorrow or peace and joy. And I can feel that heaviness. I can feel that weight, you know, trying to come on me. And we don't honor a person by grieving for them. We don't. You don't show how much you love a person or honor them by grieving. You honor them by celebrating their life and talking with and doing all these things. And of course, at their graduation service, give the altar call of salvation. That's how you honor someone, especially if they knew the Lord. And so I was faced with either grief or sorrow, or to flow in peace and joy. And I chose to walk in the flow of peace and joy, which is of the Spirit. Because grief, sorrow, and depression are all flows of death. Whether you believe it or not, they are, because Jesus redeemed us from them. Didn't he? In Isaiah, it says he redeemed us from, took our griefs and our sorrows. And grief and sorrow and depression are all heavy. When I started to feel that, steps before we stepped into the funeral home up there, that spirit again tried to come on me, that heaviness, that grieving. And I just said, I thank you, Lord, that I am strong. I thank you that I flow. I choose to flow in the flows of peace and joy. And immediately, I felt that. I felt peace and joy. And I felt my spirit settle down. I didn't feel like rejoicing in the beginning. My emotions wanted to weep. I wanted to cry. But as I chose to rejoice, joy began to flow through me. And then I felt strengthened. I didn't feel like a sap, you know, just like, oh, you know, just weak and all emotional. But I felt strengthened. To leave your joy is to leave your strength. So don't leave your joy. Don't ever, because then you're going to be strengthless, be without strength. And none of us can afford to be without strength, even for a moment. Write this down. This isn't good because I'm saying it. It's good because it's good instruction. The exit road out of any difficulty, test, or trial is paved with rejoicing, with joy. I'll say that again. The exit road, the road out of any difficulty, any test, any trial, it's paved with joy and with rejoicing. Your emotions, your feelings, your head, the mental arena may not feel like it. You may feel bogged down, overwhelmed with stress. Stay on that road. Stay on that pavement of rejoicing, because that's where your strength is. That's where your clarity is. That's when you'll be able to just think rationally and have the mind of Christ, not the mind of, you know, doing things in the mental arena, which seems good, but are so detached from the plan of God for your life. You don't want that, because eventually you'll end up in a ditch. And if you're not in the plan or the will of God, that's not the best place for you. Oh, it may appear to be. All the signs may be pointing to it. This looks good. Wow, look at this. Price is here. Ah, you know, he looks good. She looks good. She's a Christian. He's a man of God. Yeah, but how long have they been saved? You know, and so just all of these things you got to take into consideration. All of that. Don't leave your peace and your joy. Stay on that road, because it'll get you through any difficulty, any hardship, anything at all. Amen. There's another scripture in 1 Peter 3:22. One translation says this: Jesus has the last word on everything. On everything and everyone. From angels to armies, he's standing right alongside God, and what he says goes. Yeah, amen. Settled, finished. Argue all you want. And God just sits in heaven and laughs. Just laughs, you know. Because in Proverbs, it talks about fools. Fools that have many words. Reasoning and you know, making their own plans. Don't be foolish. Have the mind of Christ, and that Jesus has the last say-so, the last word on everything. Matthew 24:35 says, heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will never pass away. Despite of all the opposition, despite of all the times that have passed, the generations that have passed, despite all the claims that the Bible isn't true, that it's not really the word of God, that it's not reliable, that it's not the truth. The Bible's claims and the predictions still come into pass, still are true, still all powerful, even after all these generations and generations from the beginning, from the time this book was written. You can trust, rely, believe, proclaim, and stand on the words in the Bible, for they have been written under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, God breathed. I love that. God breathed upon the word. It's inspired, wholly inspired. It's God breathed, and it's profitable for instruction, for reproof, and the conviction of sin, for correction of error, and discipline in obedience, for training in righteousness. That's the word of God. And it, Jesus always has the last say. Always, always, always. The one that has the last and final say raised up a young shepherd boy, wasn't a warrior, but to conquer and defeat Goliath. A young boy whom nobody thought, him? Saul's armies, all the mighty men of valor with all their equipment, with all their army, with all their training. Here comes little David. Saul's armor didn't even fit him. Comes with a slingshot. Just and 5 stones? The God has the final say. He has the final say on every battle. Yeah, David's proof of that. What about the woman with the issue of blood? Doctors had given up on her. They said that her infirmity was incurable. But God arose with his final say and overruled the doctor's report. He did. So whatever you're facing, any type of infirmity, sickness, take it. Don't take the papers from the doctors, but take the word, the final say-so, the word of God, and say, Lord, what do you say? Is it my time? Is my time up? I know that there's more for me. I know you have more for me to do here on this earth. Whether it's something terminal, something short-lived, or whether it's just something with the flu, or whether it's cancer, diabetes, you fill in the blank. All these things, the Lord has the final say on every one of them, every one of them. And he took it to the cross, and he says, by my stripes, all of you, you are healed, every one of you. He has the last say-so over sickness and disease. Amen. He does. Everyone, everyone. Well, what about those? What about those Christians that died from sickness and disease? Well, ask the Lord about it when you get to heaven. But maybe, you know, in my mom's final weeks, she had gotten COVID, which really boggled my mind because I thought, how in the world, 2-3 years pass by, and then all of a sudden she gets COVID there, you know, in the nursing home. But she recovered, and then there was a little bit of a decline after that, you know, in her physical, you know, ailments and things like that. But even after all of these things, I continually prayed long life and good days, sending the healing anointing over and upon her, declaring healing scriptures. Now, it just may have been where it was her heart's desire to go home already. And here I am praying, Lord, strengthen her, send the anointing. And I'm praying long life and good days. And she did have all of that. But one day, about 2 weeks, a week and a half prior to her going home, I came to a point where I said, you know what, Lord? That was selfish of me. That was really selfish of me. All those prayers I prayed, not for my mom, they were for me. Because I just didn't want to go through the agony. I didn't want to lose her. I didn't want her to go home. I wanted to go back and you know, be with her a couple more times and spend some time with her. So I got before the Lord and I said, Lord, with all my heart and all earnestness, I release her. I totally release her in your hands, whatever she desires to do, whatever she wants to do. You know, you honor it. And within a very short window of time, she left. She was in her room. She was sitting in the wheelchair. And the nurse came in and said, hi, Alice. She says, do you need a pain pill tonight? I'll go get you some Tylenol. She left the room. And she says, when she first walked in on my mom was sitting there almost like stunned in the wheelchair. And she said, my mom's mouth was moving like she was talking to someone. And I thought, oh, I know who she was talking to. I know who she was talking to. God was preparing her. Her angel that was assigned to her from birth was getting ready to escort her into glory. And I believe she was having a conversation because that's the same look she had on her face back in Jefferson Hospital back in 2014 when she accepted the Lord, when she asked Jesus to come into her heart. She just kind of had this dazed look, like almost like awe, you know, like something just grand just had taken place. And so her mouth was moving, but the nurse said no words were coming out. So she was talking to someone. And then when the nurse came back in to give her her Tylenol, her pill, she had transitioned. She left already. So, yeah, it was very short. But I had released her. And so, you know, you get to the point where praying always the will of God, even for our loved ones. And sometimes we pray things because we want them here. We don't want to release them. And they're just like, let me go already, you know, let me go. My mom didn't know I was praying these things, but she told me years ago she was ready to leave already. Wow. So you know, we got to be mindful of stuff like this, you know, when we pray for our loved ones. Always, God will always honor. So getting back to why some Christians pass away with infirmities or with, maybe they just talked to the Lord and said, I'm ready, Lord, to go home. I know Sister Jennifer said that, you know. She said, I'm tired of all this. I'm tired of just this, the world. She said, I'm ready. I'm ready, Lord. And it was very, very, yeah, quick that she exited, that she went home to be with the Lord. And you know, for a lot of Christians that we don't know what they're declaring. But I'll tell you what, one thing that can detour from the Lord having the final say is doubt and unbelief, and also sin too. That'll barricade and block what the Lord would want to say, having the Lord have the final say over your situation, over your life, over what you want to do. And he already knows. He already knows. Each and every one of your plans and purposes for your lives, they're all ordered. That's why he says, our steps are ordered of the Lord. Every step, the steps of a righteous man and woman are ordered of the Lord. Amen. Amen. The word is so good. So the woman with the issue of blood, God had the final say-so and overruled the doctor's report, and she was healed. What about the three Hebrew boys in the fire? They found themselves facing a fiery furnace because they refused to compromise and bow their knee to an image, to an idol. And so God had the final say, didn't he, with them? And the fire never consumed them. In fact, I believe God was so marveled and impressed with their faith, especially when they made the term. They said, O king, we will not bow to you. And even if our God doesn't deliver us, we still won't bow. You know, without any proof, God doesn't have to do anything. We're still not going to bow. And I believe when Jesus heard that, he's like, I'm going down there to get in with them. And he came down, left his throne, came down and got in the fire with them. And they were all dancing. God had the last say-so in that. And not only did the three Hebrew men not get singed, not get burnt in that fire, but it turned the king's heart. He made a decree after that, said the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego is the true God. And he declared that everyone in the province, in that territory, all will worship their God. Yeah, declared it. And so they all got saved. There was revival in that by three men not bowing their knees, because God had the final say in that situation. What about Daniel thrown into the lion's den because he violated a decree saying that you will not pray to God? The king wanted everybody praying to him. Daniel said, oh no, and they caught him praying to God. So they threw him in the lion's den. God had the final say, so shut the mouth of the lion. And Daniel slept on the lion's mane. He just had a big fluffy old down pillow there. He just fluffed up his mane. You're going to be my pillow tonight, O lion. You know, you're not going to devour me. And he laid down on the lion's mane and just fell asleep, because God has the final say. Hallelujah. Joseph sold by his brothers into Egypt, because his brothers didn't want him to fulfill his destiny. But God, who has the final say, made his brothers come back to Joseph in the end, restored them, restored Joseph and his brothers back to his father, did some things in the midst of all of that, and the plan of God, because God had the final say in all of that. Even when Joseph was in the prison, when Joseph was accused, all of these things, when he was forsaken by the baker, the candlestick maker, or whoever it was, you know, they all left him. They all forsook him. God, even then, had the final say. Joseph had an excellent spirit, so he weathered it out. He stayed true to himself, true to his God, and God, what God said came to pass. one of my favorite ones, and there are so many more. Jairus's daughter, she's dead, right?
Yeah.
What could be more final than death? Jairus's daughter. And so they get there, and all of the town folk, all the relatives, all the aunties and uncles, they're all mourning and crying and weeping over the little girl. What did Jesus? Jesus walks up to the little girl, and he says, "Little girl, you're not dead. She's just sleeping. Mama, Papa, she's not dead. She's just sleeping." And all the townspeople started laughing and mocking him, saying, "You don't know what... It's out of his mind. She's dead. The doctors pronounced her. There's no pulse. There's no life in her. Who knows? Maybe even rigor mortis set in. We don't know how far along the girl was deceased at that point. Jesus had the final say even over death in that little girl. And so what he did was he takes the mom and dad and he says, "Come on, mama, daddy, come with me." And he took some of his disciples, the ones that were full of faith, took them in the room there, took them in where the girl is, and then he took her hand and spoke to her. And then he said, "Give her something to eat. She's going to be hungry." Because God always, 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 always has the final say in everything. What are you facing today where the enemy has lied, told you that your situation will never change, it'll never happen for you, has told you you'll never be a homeowner here in Hawaii, it's too expensive, you can't afford this, you'll always be renting. He's told you about your health. Yeah, you may be able to do this, but you're going to have limitations. What lies has the enemy told you when it seems like apparently things are getting worse? You're going under. You'll never recover from this. You'll never remarry. You'll never, all of that. Lies, lies, lies. All lies. Because anytime you hear that, anytime you get that suggestion, and he will offer suggestions to you, all you have to do is combat and say, "My God has the final say." He has the final say. His book, the Bible, is just full of them, full of examples. Just read a few to you, but there's so many more. But I love the one especially when it comes to death. We think death is so final, where he said, "We can raise the dead. We can, if it's the will of God, you know." And you got to be sure that it's the will of God before you even attempt to do something like that, you know. But it can be done. Can be done. We came from a conference where there were several ministers who did raise people from the dead, yeah, and were raised themselves. This one female minister. So God always, always, always has the last say. Yeah. So if you're facing an impossible situation and it just doesn't seem like it's getting better, say, keep speaking to it. "My God has the final say over this." Get in the word about that, whether it's health, finances, whether it's spouse, whether it's people, relationships, no matter what it is, transitioning jobs, whatever you're facing, get in the word and say, this is my answer right here. God has the final say over it. And just keep declaring it and saying it over and over again. Because he cannot lie. We read the scriptures. He cannot lie. He is not a man that he should lie. No, he cannot. In Revelation 22:13, he says, "I am the Alpha and the Omega, the first and the last, the before all and the end of all." He had no beginning and he has no end. That's our God. Mentally, you try to think and ponder on that and the brain will just, you know. I was meditating on that one day, like I was meditating on eternity. And it just blew a fuse in my brain, you know, because I thought, I can't comprehend eternity. No end to anything, forever and ever. And ever, from the eternities to eternities, we'll be living with him. Now take that on the flip side, us as believers who know the Lord, who've accepted Jesus in our hearts, how drastic and how imperative, how important it is to get to the world, to unbelievers, because hell is not just a short-lived period of time, and then they get out. Or, you know, it's like, well, you spend 10 years down there. It's not like prison. It's not like MCCC where you serve your time and then Satan releases you and then you get to go into glory. It's for eternity in utter darkness, utter despair, utter torment with demons, devils that hate you to your very core because you were made in the image of God. And you have to every day live in that torment, live in that. No breaks, no nothing, not eating your favorite foods, not, you know, remembering a pleasant memory, not cut off. Can you imagine what it would feel like to those in hell that are cut off from the presence of God? Think about that. The utter despair. It go beyond depression and just to where you want to take your life and die, but you can't. You can't. You just live with that day after day after day for eternity. That would make me, oh, I'd run to the altar. Oh, Jesus, I don't fully understand all this, but I heard somebody talking about you and about heaven and hell. I don't want to go down there and experience that. Jesus, I take you as my Lord. I accept you. Who would want to experience something like that? Utter separation for eternity from the Lord. No break, no nothing, nothing. There's no joy, there's no peace, only torment, depression, utter despair. That's what hell holds for those who reject Jesus. And, you know, when you think on those terms for eternity, you don't want to gamble with your life. You don't want to ever gamble with your eternity, where you're going to spend it. It's not even your worst enemy you would want there. But there are lots of people in hell, yes, yeah. Because they were lied to and they rejected the truth. And then, of course, ultimately they rejected Jesus. But eternity is a long, 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 long time. It's a long time. Yeah. And I end with this scripture in Isaiah 46:10. Declaring the end and the result from the beginning and from ancient times, the things that are not yet done, saying, my counsel, meaning the Lord's counsel, shall stand, and I will do all my pleasure and purposes. He's the Alpha and the Omega. He's the Alpha, the Omega. We worship you, O Lord. You are worthy to be praised. We give you all the glory. Say that to him. We give you all the glory. We worship you, O Lord. You are worthy to be praised. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The Alpha and the Omega. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.